going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
You need to make an announcement that I didn't get coaching. I don't cheat. I didn't get coaching. How can you say that?
It's been a very big week for sports. That outburst by Serena Williams is just one of the stories we're talking about tonight at the Sports Reporters Roundtable. Colin Kaepernick isn't playing football, but has become a larger-than-life sports icon. We're talking about that as well. Joining me to talk about this are David Steele, senior writer for Sporting News, and Kelsey Nelson, sports reporter for Fox Sports Radio. Lines are open. What do you think? Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Kelsey and David, thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's jump right into it because tennis courts and tennis minds are still very, very hot as we look back at the end of the U.S. Open.
You owe me an apology. You owe me an apology. I have never cheated in my life. I have a daughter and I stand what's right for her. And I've never cheated. And you owe me an apology.
Well, there you have it. Serena Williams talking to the umpire.
Yes.
There you go.
Chair umpire.
About the penalties, the warnings. Of course, Serena Williams lost what would have been her 24th major.
Yep.
At the U.S. Open to Naomi
Osaka.
And I'm still working on my Japanese there. but ladies first here, Kelsey, was she right and complaining to the chair umpire about what happened?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think this is the question that we are seeing over and over again on social media. So after the match, Serena Williams got fined $17,000, three code of conduct violations. And people keep asking, was she right? I want everybody to look at all the different sports that they watch. Is Serena Williams the first person that you have seen complain with an official? The answer should be no. If you are telling me yes, that she is the only one, then something's wrong. I don't know what you're watching.
Yeah, you're not watching sports.
You're not watching sports, right?
Especially
you're
not
watching
baseball.
Something else, right? Especially not baseball.
Yeah.
So Serena Williams is something that we see all the times with athletes. And with other athletes, it's called them being passionate. She didn't agree with all of his calls. Other people also did not agree, and she voiced that opinion. She showed it. When she slammed her racket, she was mad at herself. I think Serena Williams was just being the Serena Williams that we know. She was being authentic to herself. If you have watched her play, she is a passionate player in the game of tennis. And that's what we saw on display. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I think she got categorized wrong, and that's why we're talking about it here today with you, Harold. But mm-hmm. Serena Williams, I would say she's not wrong, no, for what she did.
But rules are rules. Are we talking, David, about the letter of the law, quote unquote, versus the spirit of the law or the rules?
Those who are calling her out and are chastising her and are literally wagging a finger at her like she's a child. Yeah, they're talking about the letter of the law. The spirit of the law and the consistency in which it's applied, not only at the U.S. Open, not only throughout the entire sport of tennis, male and female, let's be very clear about that, but in all sports, as Kelsey mentioned. That's all any competitor, any athlete in any competition wants. You know, to call it for me exactly the same as you call it for everybody else. And as we've all been saying these last couple of days, this is just a part of tennis. You know, that's the soundtrack of every tennis match, even the finals, the championship rounds. You know, questioning what the umpire has done. And certainly questioning if it's something as really, it was pretty egregious what was called on her. And it really does question. It's a lot more than like, oh, a foot fault, or was the ball in or out or something like that, or was that serve, you know, on the line or off. This was saying, you're cheating. It's like she said, she was not exaggerating. She said, you're accusing me of being a cheater. You're questioning my integrity and my credibility on a worldwide stage. And, that is really kind of at the core of it. You know, the state chair umpires in this sport and at this level, you know, they have to be pushed a long way to do that with all the other players. And the fact that he had such a quick trigger on Serena Williams raises a lot of questions.
But see, here's the thing that I find really interesting, because Saturday there was a lot of discussion about sexism coming from the chair umpire. Today, it's racism. I'm sure you've both seen this cartoon coming out of Australia, Mark Knight. And this is the thing that's really, really disturbing. And I want to make sure that we do go back to tennis, the sport, and the rules. But I think the thing that has come out, here we are some 2 days later, and Mark Knight draws a cartoon that depicts Serena Williams as this overweight woman with these overly large lips. I mean, it looks like something that is coming out of the 1920s here in the United States. But the thing that I find really, really disturbing is the Naomi Osaka portrayal, mm-hmm. where she's portrayed with blonde hair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that. What's going on here?
Blonde hair,
yep.
White skin.
Right, yeah. Very fit looking.
Very thin, yeah, just not even reflective of who she is. Yeah. He reached for every possible stereotype
to
push every conceivable button and to really show the entire world. Because let's face it, we're talking about here in Washington, D.C.,
yep.
and he drew that in Australia.
Right.
And
yeah.
that thing went around the world today thanks to our technology today.
Yep.
And he showed the world what he and his audience, when he gets right down to it,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people agree with him, what they think, what they see in us
yep.
when they look at us, and unfortunately what they see of you, Kelsey.
Right, yeah.
You know, as a
every
black
day.
Woman, every day, under all circumstances. There's nothing that she did, said, reflected in any way that was a call to be depicted
right.
like that.
I want to hear from you, our listeners, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're at the Sports Reporters Roundtable. We're talking about Serena Williams, the U.S. Open, and the events of this weekend. Also, last week, Colin Kaepernick back into sports. He's just not playing.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not playing. He is in a Nike commercial, which has brought up all kinds of discussion. Are you still buying Nikes? Are you burning your Nikes? Are you cutting the swoosh off? Or did you go and buy a pair last week? I did.
good for you, Harold.
Yeah, well, I needed a pair, but and that's what I like. So, but hey, they feel good. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before I go to the phones, oh, here we go. George calling from Virginia. Okay, George, what do you think? What's on your mind?
Well, I don't understand how they could make that picture looking blonde and, you know, light skin. That young lady is half Haitian and half Japanese.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So,
well, I think I do understand how they were able to depict Naomi Osaka with blonde hair and light skin. It's called racism.
Yep, yeah. Quite frankly, yes.
George, thank you so much. Your thoughts about that, Kelsey?
I would just add to that, and this is something we see time and time again. You said it. She's half Asian, half Haitian, half Japanese. Serena Williams, as we know her, as a black woman, an African-American woman. So there's a comfortability I think people saw in Naomi Osaka in the fact that she's mm-hmm. half Japanese. It's away from blackness. So yeah. they made sure to make her look the complete opposite, as we've all talked about, of the Serena Williams picture. I mean, Serena Williams, the lips, that, I mean, those are caricatures, as you said, Harold. That's something that we thought we had got away from, but obviously not, mm-hmm. thanks to this author. But again, I mean, like you said, why would you depict her like that? Yes, she has highlights in her hair. If you really look at her, she has blonde highlights, but she's darker skin. And again, the highlights are at the end, and they're not that light.
Yeah.
Her hair is mostly dark. So it was completely wrong, completely inaccurate. But that just shows you, as you said, Harold, it just goes back to one word, and that's racism.
Okay. Israel calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you guys doing this evening?
Doing just fine. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to comment. My comment might be way out of the way of what everybody's talking about, but as far as like the Colin Kaepernick and Nike situation, I really just think that Nike has motive. Like when you hear them talk about what they did, they say we looked at the demographics and we looked at the numbers. So basically when they say that, they saying that they looked at, okay, black people are going to support Nike, so why not get behind this? And this has got them more money. I question their whole motive. That's all I got to say about that.
Okay, Israel, thank you so much. I want you to hear a little bit of this Nike ad with Colin Kaepernick, and this is his voice that you'll be hearing.
Don't become the best basketball player on the planet. Be bigger than basketball. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything.
And obviously a reference to his apparent loss of his football career. The irony of that commercial is that there's a lot of Serena Williams and Venus mm-hmm. Williams in the commercial. There is LeBron James yes. when he was talking about don't just be the greatest basketball player, be bigger than basketball. But is this a business decision by Nike, or do you think they're trying to make a statement, or is it a little bit of both?
It's both. It's both. And here's the interesting thing about the business side of it, and it was a great recognition by the last caller. Nike's looking at the bottom line, no doubt about it. But think about who the NFL and really also the White House, because that's what we're talking about here, mm-hmm. who they're catering to in the decisions they're making about Colin Kaepernick, in blackballing him from the league and insulting him all the time and putting in rules about when players can come out and do this and do that with the anthem and who, how much punishes. They're going after a certain segment of the audience and rejecting another segment of it. That segment that's being rejected and having their back who's they're turning their back on him is the audience that Nike's going after. The people who are supporting Colin Kaepernick and who are saying no to what the NFL is doing to the players, to punishing them, to trying to, you know, protect their crowd, the MAGA crowd. You know, the people who were, you know
make them
cutting off the logos.
Make America
right.
great again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think to that point, when we move from the sports to the politics of it, when this ad first came out, this was last Thursday. The season opened on Thursday
yep.
not on Sunday, but it opened on
yeah. They ain't gonna miss a chance though.
Exactly. Well,
perfect timing.
You know, a Louisiana mayor has banned Nike products from booster clubs. This is Kenner, Louisiana. Mayor Bill Zahn III ordered playground booster clubs to stop wearing and buying Nike products. And this came out in a memorandum dated on the 5th of September. It says, under no circumstances will any Nike product or any product with a Nike logo be purchased for use or delivery at any city of the Kenner Recreation Facility. And I think to David's point, this Nike ad is much like America is right now, politically divided, Kelsey.
I mean, I think it speaks completely to that. Just think about that. A mayor told the booster club, we don't want Nikes anymore. Mm-hmm. Just think about that. Mm-hmm. That is powerful. And that obviously shows his bias. And obviously he's trying to spread that bias, much like many people are trying to do in this country. Because right now, either you're red or you're blue. It's really not many people in between. And I think that's
not a lot
shows.
Of purple people.
Not a lot of purple, right, yeah. right now. At least right now that we're seeing. And that just shows you the power of Colin Kaepernick. As you said, he hasn't played in the NFL since 2016. And this Nike ad did cause a lot of controversy, but he has been signed with Nike for several years now. Now he has a new sponsorship deal. And we saw this ad come out. And as you said, the timing was perfect. But right now, people are either saying you're with Colin Kaepernick or you're not. We have the president of the country calling, you know, players who agree with Colin Kaepernick SOBs. Mm, so right yeah. now, again, you agree with him or you don't. And Louisiana mayor is making sure that everyone in his city hopefully agrees with him. And he wants to make sure that message doesn't spread, because I think he saw how powerful it was. And that's what the notion that the NFL is trying to do right now. That's why they're telling players, guess what? We don't really want you coming out and kneeling. And this past weekend, we saw two players from the Dolphins kneel.
Yeah,
but it was a lot less, right, than last NFL season. Mm-hmm.
Let me grab another call real quick. Donna calling from D.C. Quickly, Donna, what's on your mind?
Okay, quickly, two things. Comment on the Colin issue. One, Nike made a brilliant business decision, because it has nothing to do with feelings. It's all about the bottom line. No one else would hire him but Nike, okay? So what they did is they strategized, and they are the winners in that situation. A lot of African-American athletes have made Nike money. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Serena, LeBron, they're all under contract with Nike. So the bottom line is, if you have a closet full of Nike, it's pointless to burn them. One. Now let's go to Serena. Serena is the greatest champion of tennis in history, period. Okay? And what they did to her that day is they defamed her publicly, scolded her for not addressing it, and then has the audacity to fine her $17,000. Now, let me tell you about the Japanese situation.
Well, you need to hold on to the Japanese. I need you to hold on. I need you to hold on for me because I've got to take a break, and I'll pick your phone call back up on the other side. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Sports Reporters Roundtable. We're talking about Serena Williams and Colin Kaepernick. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. If you're having difficulty getting through, keep trying. I promise I will take your phone calls. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius X41, HUR Voices, Washington.
Serena Williams at the U.S. Open on Saturday, just a few moments before losing her 24th major. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are at the Sports Reporters Roundtable with David Steele, senior writer for Sporting News, and Kelsey Nelson, sports reporter for Fox Sports Radio. Lines are still open. Give us a call if you have a question or comment. Caller on the other line, finish your conversation about the issue of Japan. Caller, are you there? Okay, I think we may have lost her. Let me go to Rico calling from Greenbelt. Rico, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing? I love the show.
Thank you.
I'm really not surprised what they did with Serena in the cartoon caricature. I remember a couple years ago, LeBron did a Slam magazine cover with a white woman, and they kind of put that side by side next to a King Kong magazine or King Kong picture years ago. And so I just kind of noticed this trend that where if our athletes aren't acting ignorant and out of character enough, they'll do it for us. They'll paint that picture for us. If we're not having gold chains and tons of kids are getting in trouble, then they'll make caricatures and things like that to kind of depict for us. That's all.
Okay. Thank you so much. Let's go to Donnell calling from Southwest D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold. How you doing, buddy?
Doing just fine.
Yeah, my thing is, after all that controversy, if I was Serena, I would have just walked off the court and have them to just postpone that game because Osega did not earn that game. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you. If she had walked off, that would have been a forfeit, would it not?
It would have been, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it would have really diminished what Naomi Osaka did. Right. And let's be clear, let's be fair, nothing against, you know, the last caller, because I understand the emotion that's where our attention. Naomi Osaka earned that win.
Yeah, she did.
She earned that championship. She is one of the best young players on the circuit. And certainly it's shaking up what's going on here. That she's sort of continuing what the Williams sisters began
right
20 years ago.
Right.
The next evolution, the next round of great players in the world
is coming.
Are the Naomi Osakas mm-hmm. and the Sloane Stephenses.
Yep.
The last two U.S. Open champions, Sloane Stephens, black woman,
yep.
Naomi Osaka, Haitian Japanese woman. So yeah. let's keep that in perspective as we see people react to what's going on
right.
in that sport and on that level right now.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Chris, calling from Prince George's County. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? I'm just calling to say I'm having a wonderful night.
Well, great.
You know, this is my first time getting through, so I'm on the air. I'm just jamming to the music. I love it. I listen to it every day on my...
Well, Chris, let me ask you, do you have a comment about these sports issues that we're talking about?
Yes, I do have a comment about...
Well, go right ahead. We got a lot of folks on the line. Go ahead, please.
Okay, well, first of all, I feel as though that Kaepernick is doing the right thing. It's not about anything else but, you know, Black Lives Matter and us urban young youth getting killed for no reason. It's just appalled and it's absurd and it's terrible.
Okay. Well, Chris, thank you so much. And let me say to the point, and I don't want this issue, this point to be missed. Yesterday on Meet the Press, during the data download, they were just really dropping some interesting statistics. One of them, and this goes back to the whole Nike business model, business decision, 56% of African Americans buy Nike products. 14% of white Americans buy Nike products. So you can argue that Nike is trying to be woke, but the other side of that discussion could be that the color isn't black, but the color is green. Thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think any big any company, there's always a bottom line that they have to meet. Nike, let's remember, they're in a competitive race right now. You have Adidas, Reebok, Under Armour. So right now, Nike is trying to distinguish themselves, I would say. And I think, as you said, Nike notices who their market is, which a lot of companies have to look at. I think for anything you do, you need to know your audience. They do. When these athletes make these shoes, they're catering to a certain market, because when they're designing these shoes, they're bringing a lot of their past experiences and things they like to these shoes. So Nike, yes, I think they saw an opportunity. I'm not saying that they were. I won't call them fully woke yet, Harold, but I think they're waking up, all right? They're waking up right now.
They're nodding.
They're nodding in agreement, right? It's a step towards the right thing.
Dream state a little bit right now.
I like that, the dream state, right? I can't say fully woke yet, but they're getting to the point. I think they knew it was going to cause controversy, let's be honest. That's why they dropped it at the time they did. They knew it would be all this social media backlash, but also support. But again, I think they're showing that they are not afraid to take a stand. And I think a lot of companies before were afraid to take a stand. We saw what happened to the Papa John's CEO when, right, you know, we found out his comments. And if you notice, a lot of brands, some brands said, okay, yes, we agree with the athletes kneeling. And some of them faced backlash for that. We heard people say, you know what, I'm not going to buy from them anymore. The NFL is facing that right now. Some people said, I'm canceling my NFL subscription. I'm not watching the NFL this season. Mm-hmm. So I think we see that bottom line time and time again. So you can never, ever say that, oh, it's only because they're doing what's right. No, not with the big company. I'm sorry, but you cannot say that.
Let's go to Robert calling from Hyattsville. Robert, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a degree in marketing from that school. I was just named 89th in the nation.
Great.
Howard University.
And congratulations. And congratulations to us. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I know Nike, they know what they're doing. And that is trying to get a bottom line. They went through focus group. They looked at trends. They looked at market share. One of your commentators just mentioned that 14% of whites and 56% of blacks, you know, do Nike. But 14% of them is much larger than 56%. You know, we're 14% of them is just larger than our 56%. And now I'm going to say something that I haven't heard anybody say about Serena. She is the greatest tennis player in the world. However, I cannot take a woman that's, 37 years old, wearing a tutu. I mean, you know, if you want to be treated like an adult, look like one. That's all.
Okay, so let's
we talking about Serena Williams, who has a husband and a family.
I don't know what you're playing. I know she's trying to be fashionable, but in a tutu, I mean, I have played tennis, but I know you want your wind resistance to be as little as possible. But in a tutu,
well, the superhero outfit that she had on, the mm-hmm. the bodysuit, that was considerably. Less or more wind resistant, but she was told that she couldn't wear that. I really don't care. I don't like the tutu only because I don't think it looks good. But she has every right to wear it.
Misty Copeland.
Say again.
ask Misty Copeland, not Serena Williams, to wear a tutu.
Robert? Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, so 223311. What do you think?
Is she a grown woman and can she decide on
her
own?
She can make her own decisions. And if she's winning where he leaves, I don't see why we're talking about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to find my calendar right now and check it real quick. It's 2018 right now, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
People telling people what they can wear?
What they can wear.
37-year-old woman who just had a child?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And you brought up her outfit that she wore. Remember, the last outfit, the bodysuit that you were talking about, also helped her with her blood clots, which, let's remember, she almost died from while giving childbirth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's also some reasons. But Serena Williams, I think she's earned the right. I don't think anybody has, but really Serena has earned the right. If she wants to wear a tutu and she's winning, let her wear it. If she's still playing great, who are we to tell her what to wear to win?
And you're right at the core of what a lot we're talking about right here. She, in what happened in that final, was doing something that people are just not accustomed to seeing. A woman, especially a black woman, champion or not, just being who she is, standing for who she is, standing up for what's right and what's wrong, and not caring about whether people think it's ladylike or appropriate or professional, because those are all judgment things.
Right.
Those are all subjective things.
Right.
You know, she can do whatever she needs to do to win. And to make herself comfortable, she got to the U.S. Open final wearing a tutu.
Right, so let her wear a tutu.
So that seems like it's aerodynamic enough.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, if I could just quickly add, I think we see this a lot of times, and I have to go back to the race and sexism points, that former First Lady Michelle Obama faced the same thing, what she was wearing. Her arms were showing and things like that. But if you look at other First Ladies.
Clutch the pearls, her arms were
showing.
But
again, we're criticizing what she's wearing, but she was doing the job that she needed to do as First Lady. Now, that's her opinion, right, how she did the job. But again, it's like this comes up time and time again. But if they're doing what they need to be doing, who are we to sit here and criticize and judge?
Yeah. 202-319-7810. Teresa calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Teresa. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm calling about Serena.
Go ahead.
The umpire that Serena had to miss with, I don't know if most people know, in 2016, Venus had the same qualm with the same umpire in the French Open. She actually won the third set against Cornet, but that same umpire accused Venus Williams of cheating and getting coaching from her boss at the same time. Venus handled it a little different. You know, she fussed at the umpire, but not quite. But Venus doesn't have the personality that Serena has. So I just wonder if there was something with the umpire in the beginning of the game.
I think that is a good question. And you did, by the way, you brought up Alizé Cornet, who was, was she warned or what happened when she took off her top and she turned her back to the audience because the top was inside out?
And the same thing happened to her, as we see the males sit out there and they take off their shirts all the time and change. And she changed because most women do it. We see our top. I could be at the gym. You see your top. You're going to change that top to the right way. That's what women do.
Yeah. And the U.S. Open officials did back off of her.
And
apologize after that was brought up. And I think that probably, while it may not necessarily have anything to do with Serena Williams' specific situation, I think it really speaks to a culture of sexism. I think it really, really does. How many broken rackets have we seen? How many tirades from men with all kinds of colorful metaphors have we seen when addressing chair umpires? And no matter how vicious and how passionate Serena Williams was, one of the things that I did notice, there was no cursing.
No, there was not.
Yep.
And that is a great distinction to make.
Yeah.
She was angry and expressive, but she was polite. She was not profane. She was very direct. She was respectful. And she made sure she made her point.
Yeah.
And people still, I mean, I've seen a couple people say that she was very threatening to him. And that's one of those things to tell you, okay, you can't point out to me what exactly is threatening
right.
about what she said. And when they can't reach, when they can't really explain it, that tells you that it was just her presence as a black woman, as a very strong, outspoken black woman. That was what was threatening.
Thank you, caller, for your phone call. Let's go to Walter calling from Northeast. Walter, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, good evening, everybody.
Hey.
Number one, Colin Kaepernick is a genius. And he will, Nike had him on contract, and they made the perfect choice, especially when he gave up a lot for what happened to him. He gave up a lot, so it was a great commercial. And number two, Serena got all that stress. John McEnroe said that, yes, he did far worse, but they hold women to a more, had to be, you're a lady, you're not supposed to do that. But like I said, two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah.
And Serena got a, look, nobody give Naomi Osaka a whole lot of credit. She beat Serena in two straight sets. So.
Especially that first set was a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Serena really, really got beat up in that first set.
And right now, Serena, remember, she just coming off having a baby.
Yeah.
So, she got, the stress was there, and she had to let it out.
Yeah.
Wrongly. But to me, that picture I saw was wrong. And like I said, Serena did what she had to do. But I'm in no wrong. But I think Serena did stood up. And that man looked at her like, oh, no, a PMS woman. I don't need
that.
Oh,
goodness.
So, y'all have a good night. Bye-bye.
There you go. Bye.
Leave it at that.
Boy, I tell you. Well, the men are really showing their sides tonight. Woo! My gracious. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. When we come back, we're going to talk about the issue that really brought Colin Kaepernick to where he is today. Is the NFL kneeling controversy going to continue, or is it petering out? We'll talk about it next. Stay with us.
Hey, what's up?
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about Serena Williams and Colin Kaepernick. They are topping our discussion at the Sports Reporters Roundtable. Let me go back to the phone lines. Robert calling from Atlanta via Baltimore. Okay. Robert, go right ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Fisher, and honored guest. My information is basically a question on how you think that it would not be kind of racial for her not to be or to be pushed out of being the top female in the tennis arena, because if you understand, blacks have been able to take over almost all sports that we pretty much come in and dominate, with Tiger Woods showing the way to golf and the way she's coming into tennis, and knowing that another black person is about to take over a top spot in tennis. I think my personal belief is that it was more racial than anything else, because they don't want to have another black person on top of another sports, how do you say, franchise, if you will. And
well,
I'll just wait for your comment.
Well, I'll tell you mine, and then I'll let Kelsey chime in, because we were talking about that during the break. I was looking at it in that very moment. No matter who won or lost, the new U.S. Open champion was going to be a black woman. Okay. Naomi Osaka, she is a black woman from Japan. Serena Williams, a black woman from the United States. So either way, this was going to be a victory for people of color. To your point, I think that Serena, matching the 24 majors, and once again reminding us that she is not just the greatest tennis player to ever play the game, but one of the top athletes, man or woman. And so I can see your point, but for me, I was looking at it in real time. But Kelsey will probably throw something at me with her thoughts.
No, I think that's a great question. And I think when we look at Serena, race always comes into play. And I say that to say every time Serena walks into anywhere, she's a black woman first. That's what they see. That's what they see when I walk in to anywhere. And I think when we look at Naomi Osaka, we can also look at a player like Madison Keys, another tennis player who's black and white. And people with race, it's very interesting. So as Harold said, Serena Williams is a black girl from the United States, right? I'm a black girl from the United States. Where we have Naomi Osaka, who is half black, half Japanese, but it's like we keep making sure to throw in that Japanese part. Now, America used to be the one drop rule, right? If you're one drop, you're black. Now it's like it's more stuff to that, right? We have the Pew Research Center saying by 2050, most people will be of mixed heritage and mixed race. And now more and more people who identify with multiple cultures, they don't usually just say one thing anymore. They're checking multiple boxes on the census and things like that. So I think with Serena Williams, she is always categorized as this, and that's what I think the unfortunate cartoon that we saw just categorizes what people see when they see black women. When Serena Williams wears an outfit, we're always talking about it. We're always talking about it, whether you think it's appropriate or not appropriate. Serena is also built differently than a lot of her competitors in the game of tennis, and I know we're talking about this on the break. So I think you can never say with Serena it's never racial, because Serena Williams did break barriers in the sport, and she wasn't the first one. She won't be the last one, as we see, but because tennis is still not the majority minority sport, it's always going to be a racial component to it, just like there is with Tiger. That's why golf right now is kind of freaking out and making sure Tiger hopefully comes back and continues to at least play decent, because once Tiger's gone, we see the numbers drop in golf. Serena, same thing with tennis. So yes, she is a majority, but they're trying to make sure more come up. But again, we have to always look at the racial backgrounds of these tennis competitors. And again, just think about how we always say Naomi Osaka. I have not heard one person just call her black. Mm-hmm. I have not heard one person just call her black. That Japanese heritage is always brought up in it. I'm not saying it's wrong, mm-hmm. but there's a reason why it's always brought up.
You want to try to follow that, David, or you want to leave that alone?
It's very hard to state it better than you did. But it is very important, because you mentioned that cartoon, and the cartoonist clearly was making a distinction that a lot of people who observe not just sports but just society in general, they decide which of us, and by us I mean black people of any strain, of any heritage, you know, who is with them and who is with us.
Yeah.
And they turn Serena into one of them, you know, one of the others, and they turn Naomi Osaka by just totally bleaching the black features out of her into one of them. And yeah. So it's like they aligned her with against her will.
Right.
You know? And this is what happens. We see this sort of thing. It's like, who's going to be the acceptable one? One of the examples, like the last time y'all's president got into it with LeBron on Twitter, he drops in the line, I like Mike anyway. Mm-hmm. Instantly, he draws a distinction.
Yep.
If you're with Michael Jordan, then you're on our side.
Right.
If you're with LeBron James and his little uppity school building, you know, whatever, you know, trying to uplift the race thing, then wearing beards and glasses, you know, all that. This is just one of those things. They've done it with the Williams sisters themselves.
Yep.
Venus is the one that everyone's like, oh, she's so reserved, she's quiet, she's calm,
right.
She's not as volatile as Serena. Mm-hmm. And it happens within people who came out of the same womb.
Yeah, right. How about that?
Right.
How about that? Robert, thank you so much for your comment. We only have a few minutes left, but I do want to talk about the anthem protests. You mentioned in the beginning of the discussion that there was some kneeling during the anthem on yesterday, but we didn't hear a whole lot about that. I don't know whether or not that was by design, or whether or not there just was not as much. And the NFL seems to be very much in limbo about what to do about this. Kelsey.
Yeah, it seems like every week there's a new decision made by the NFL. Like, oh, we're going to allow the players to, if they want to, stay in the tunnel and not participate or kneel. It's like we keep going back and forth with this. And the NFL is in a unique situation, right? So when you look at the majority of NFL players, they do have a large percentage of minority players. And they have a large percentage of players who you could say would resonate with Colin Kaepernick and why he first took this stance in the first place. Then you have another side of it that looks at the NFL's viewers. And a lot of NFL, if you go to an NFL game, you have people from all walks of life, right? And that's why this conversation has gone in so many different ways and directions. And it keeps coming back to patriotism. And players keep hearing, okay, if you kneel, you're not patriotic. Just after the Sunday NFL games, our president tweeted out, you know, oh, the NFL's ratings are down because the players chose, because they still allow players to kneel, which we saw with the Miami Dolphins players. Again, this is, it's so complex, but I'll say this. This situation is not going to be over. It's not far from over. I think we do see less players kneeling, but I think it's because the circumstances in which we live, they're being threatened. We saw Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys owner, basically say, guess what? You're not going to be rocking the star if you decide to kneel. We have the Houston Texans owner also basically calling the athletes like inmates. I mean, this situation is going to keep coming up time and time again, but there's a difference between the NFL ownership and what the players actually face. I mean, time and time again, we see athletes even getting arrested by cops for no reason. Mm-hmm. We saw it with the Milwaukee Bucks player. That whole situation played out. And he's not the only one. That's just the first one that comes to mind. So again, the situation is very complex. But no, it's not going to stop. And I think players know the NFL and Sundays, Thursdays, or Monday nights are a prime time to voice their opinions.
Why is it that the NFL and the NBA, when it comes to this issue of protest, is so different, Dave?
Part of it is that when the NBA and the owners and the players got together to decide this, and this was several years ago, if some people remember, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf was sitting out the national anthem because of his Muslim faith, and there was a big to-do about it. The two sides got together and said, okay, well, everybody should stand for the anthem, but we're going to allow flexibility. And the key to that was the players, owners got together. That's been completely absent in what the NFL has done. They have done everything unilaterally. They've imposed this rule, that rule, this policy, that policy on the players. And what's happening now, and this is not to say that the players are not protesting for the same reasons that they were in the very beginning, which was oppression, racism, police brutality, all the things that Colin Kaepernick said very clearly. They're doing it to send a message not only to the owners and the teams and the fans who are pushing against them and the president. You're not going to push this around.
But and I also you want to talk about numbers. Is it because when you're talking about basketball, the entire team, not just the guys that are your first line. But the entire teams are just smaller. You got 53 on each team. Okay. Whether they play or not, you have at least 53. The stars for basketball, their stars burn hotter and brighter. Yeah. And many of those hotter, brighter stars are black.
Yeah.
As opposed to in football, you still have big stars, but those stars, I would argue, may even be dimmer because the teams are bigger. Although we have seen all black defensive, that still blows my mind. You see some teams, their entire defensive line mm-hmm. is black.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a lot. Is that
but
part
you
of
made
it?
A great yeah. point though. The culture of the two leagues could not be right. more opposite.
Right.
You know, because that NFL, the NBA knows who their fan base is.
Right.
Even the players that come from all over the world, mm-hmm. Europe, South America, Asia, everyone, they adapt and they absorb black American culture.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that's the dominant culture. The coaches, the marketing, right. the music in the arenas.
Yeah, the audience is completely different. Yes.
The NFL could do that. They have
clearly chosen not to.
Yeah. Right. But the NFL, but let's say NFL isn't NASCAR either.
Yep. So, well, there you go. There you go. Right. I think that's NASCAR players, Miller. Drivers, I should say.
It's a good place to end this conversation. David Steele, Kelsey Nelson, thank you so much for talking to us. I appreciate it. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, September 10th. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.